I want to tell you five things you need to do with the Word of God. And if you do these five things with the Word of God, your life will change. Some of you know that I have lost a lot of weight. You've seen me here, and I've lost a good bit of weight from last year when I was here. Last June, I weighed about 80 pounds more than I weigh now. Okay, so I've lost a lot of weight. So that's a lot of weight down. I did certain things to do that. If you do those things, then you'll lose weight. You know, I got off some foods that I was allergic to. That made a drastic difference in my body. So just doing that, I was allergic to yeast and to whey and to barley. So all of a sudden, I took those out of my diet, and radical things started happening in my body that were good radical things. So much so that I'm not going to go back to those. And so people offer me things, and I just say, oh, thanks, I don't care for it. And there's no temptation. I was telling them, it's about as much temptation as I have of taking my hand, putting on a cement slab, and taking a sledgehammer and hitting it. I'm just not tempted to do that. I'm not tempted to eat things that have that in it, even though I remember the taste was nice, but it's not worth all the stuff you get. So if you do these things with the Word of God, let me tell you something. Your life will be radically different. The bad thing is, most Christians don't. Bart Ehrman, have any of you ever heard the name Bart Ehrman? Bart Ehrman is a professor down at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And he's a guy who left Christianity, and now he's an opponent to Christianity. And he gets the freshmen down there and blasts their trust in the Scriptures. Every year he does that. And I wish I'd get a chance to talk with him, because I can show you from the same evidence another result. And so, but he doesn't play that side of the cards, you know. He says, there are more mistakes in the Bible than there are words in the New Testament. And you know what? He's right. I'll show you how that plays out next week when we talk about translation, okay? Because it really doesn't matter. But he's right. But see, then young people grab a hold of that, and they lose all confidence in the Scriptures. Because they don't understand how he's using the word mistake. That's the big key. How's he using the word mistake? And I'll have you experience it next week. Well, we got to take this. Bart Ehrman said one time to his class, he told this out in a lecture. He said, "Ask how many of you students believe the Bible is the inspired word of God? Let me see your hands." Vast majority of the 130 students out in the classroom raised their hands. Really do, huh? Okay. How many of you have read Dan Brown's book, the one, Da Vinci Code? He was back during that day. Hands all over the place. Went up. And he said, "How many of you read the Bible all the way from cover to cover?" A couple of hands went up. See, the bad thing is, we got a book here that has a massive amount of information for us in life, to live life here. And most people have never read it all the way through, because they don't know how. I mean, I understand that. They have trouble with it. I appreciate that. That's one of the reasons we want to help your people know how best to read the Scriptures. Okay? But here are five things that you can do with the Scriptures that will transform your life. Let me give them to you. Here's the first one. You read it. I know it sounds crazy, but you got to do it. It will not come into your head if you lay on it on your pillow at night. Osmosis does not happen. The only way to get this into you is to use it coming through one of the two gates that we have to take in information like that. That's either through sight reading. If you're blind, you can feel the bumps on Braille. I read about a guy one time who wanted to learn how to read the Bible. He was blind, and he wanted to learn how to read the Bible, so he learned how to read Braille. And then he was going outside, and he got hold of, he didn't know what it was, but he found a blasting cap. And it went off in his hands and destroyed his fingers from being able to read Braille. And so he learned how to read Braille with his tongue, because he wanted to be able to read the Word of God for himself. Wish that we had that kind of diligence about us. Huh? But if you read it, or today you can listen to it, right? I mean, there you can get MP3s of it and listen to the Bible all day long. It's great. This stuff. I listen to the Scriptures a lot. Many times I'll just pop it in my car as I'm riding down the road and listen to a whole book on some trips. Trip up here, I can listen to different things. It's just great. Get the Word of God. Hear it. Read it. Make it part of your life. Search it daily. As much as you need food, You need the Word of God. You need to have... So just grab a hold of it every day. To take that for you, to help you with that, I'd like to have permission to do something for you. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to email you a verse every day for the 10 weeks we're in this course. After that time, we'll stop it if you want to. But every day I mail out to our congregation a verse. It's the same verse every week. 7 different times I mail the same verse in different versions of the Scriptures. Because as you have a different version, sometimes different translation, sometimes it's more paraphrastic, but I'll explain those to you next week. All of a sudden you see different nuances and different things come out as you're seeing that. So if you'll give me permission, I will email you this week, and starting with this week, we'll probably start it on Monday. I might send you the last part of this week. Send you the verse that's our verse for the week, and we'll send that to you. And then what our people do with it is they take the verse, and when they send out emails to people, they copy it and put it on the top of their email and send it out. Because it's just an email. We send you the email. All it's going to have on it, it'll have our brand on it. That's okay. You don't worry about that. It has our website. The nice thing about our website is you can go in, and we have 100 scriptures that are done this way. And most of those are all in all 10 different of the most popular translations that are purchased today. And so you can get those. But I'd like to send that to you every day, along with the list. And you, by Friday, you'll have the last one for Friday, but you'll have all the other verses that we sent you just written out. And you'll see them. And there's a graphic. We send a graphic out that has it on it. And so we produce that. So we'd like to get it. It doesn't cost anything. And what we do at the end of the 10 weeks, we'll send you an email. And the email will say this. As of, let's choose the day. Let's say the 1st of December. We'll stop sending you this. If you want to stay on, communicate with us and we'll send it to you. So we make it very easy to get off. You don't do anything and you get off. To get on this, you have to talk to us. We don't jam up your email box, you know. Yes, ma'am.
Can I pass this around so I can make sure these are all the
sure
addresses?
Sure.
And if you're not interested, maybe put a note or something.
Yeah, and make a note. And Kim, she'll take care of that for me. And it's not, if you don't want it, it's not a problem for me. You got to understand something. It's not a problem. I just would like to have you encounter this every day. And then I'm going to have you, starting in next week, not this week, the next week, I'm going to give you something to do with that every day. Okay? And it's very simple. You can do it very simply. It's not going to take any time. You can do it while you're doing something else. All right? But I want you to think about it. Because one of the things that we do is we need to search the Scriptures on a daily basis. We need to go into the Scriptures every day. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because this book, unlike other books, this is life. This is unique. And God's Spirit works through this book in a unique way. I was in depression, right? Why did I come out? Because I read this book? Because I read a book? No, it's because the Spirit of God used this book in my life to transform me. I'm like everybody else. Pastors have sin problems like everybody else does. You got to get past those sin problems, right? And shake your head like it's, you understand that, right? Pastors can do the same thing. And you know how you get rid of the sin problems in your life? How is a young man able to cleanse his ways?
Taking heed unto the Word.
You get in this thing. And you read in this Word. And this Word changes you. And it's not you going, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. It's God doing it in your life. You can't do it. You can turn over a new leaf. But you know what will happen? When everybody's out of the room, you know what you do? You'll turn the leaf back over. Because that's what people do all the time. The only change that really does happen is where God affects the change within your life. So, you search it daily. If you don't get in the Scriptures every day, you will end up weak. And Satan will be able to take advantage of you in your life. Your flesh will take advantage of you in your life. And you will do things that you don't want to do. And you'll be saying, why'd I do that? And if you get caught, people will say, why did you do that? And you know what you'll say?
I don't know.
And it's an accurate statement. Because you don't know. Because it's stupid. But if you're in this, it really protects you in your life. The next are the two missing M's in most Christians' lives. One's to memorize. People don't like to memorize. I understand. I can't memorize. What's your phone number? Most people know that. And if they don't know their phone number, they know their address. Because now people don't know phone numbers, do they? They just turn in that thing and push the button. But you usually know your address, and you probably know your social security number. But you can also memorize the scriptures. It just takes a little bit of discipline, and you just got to get doing it some. But I want to encourage you with that. Now, when I'm sending out the verses to you, you can't memorize those because I'm sending out seven different types of verses, and it's really hard to put them all together. But to memorize, you take one translation that you like, and you grab a hold of that, and you go with that translation. I memorized a lot of stuff in the old King James, because I'm from the generation that that's all we had, was the old King James and the Revised Standard. But I was around the King James, so I had to learn it that way. And so for me, it's really hard to change into the new translations. And so I love reading the new translations, but it's hard to change in memorization. So I have a new King James, so I just change the these and the thou's to you, you know, and I have it to where it comes out. But you need to memorize. It's so important, because there are times when you don't have the Word of God. And it's important to have the Word of God. I memorized the scriptures in different places, and I was working at CompUSA. One of the things that happened, it was I took a congregation of about 170 and dropped it down to about 35, and so I have a major task for being able to do that. And basically, it was because we were becoming this church that is an R&D church. You understand, a lot of people just didn't really want to be that. It was a brand new startup, and they came because of my name. But when we got down to things, we were going to have small groups. And you know, you can't hide in a small group, can you? If you're having a lousy day, you bring it into your small group. Have you found that to be true? Those of you who are in them? And everybody knows. Well, our people wanted to play the game they do on Sunday mornings, which is, how you doing? I'm fine. And emotionally, they were needing to go to the emergency room, but, you know, they put on the mask, right? Well, you can't do that in small groups. And while they were saying, small groups, that's great, 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 they got in them, and they go, oh my goodness. Because they got exposed. They didn't like it, so a lot of people left for that. And we decided we were never going to have a building. We're not against buildings. It's just that what we do is moves beyond that, and we do a lot of stuff in homes. And so with that, we didn't need a building, so we chose not to have a building. And so a number of people left because we didn't have a building. And that's basically the reason folks left. And we went down to 35, and they couldn't pay me a salary, so I went to work at CompUSA. Long story to tell you that while I was at CompUSA. But I was there working, teaching software. The people told I was teaching them how to use the internet. Can you imagine? How to use Word and PowerPoint and all the stuff in office, because they were getting rid of the secretaries that took dictation and giving them computers. And so they had to learn how to do all this stuff. So I came at just the right time to be able to teach them that. One day they were going to redo the carpet and the floor, so we had to take all the equipment out. I was underneath the desk, and I was disconnecting the monitors. And all of a sudden the thought came to my mind. IBM had used one of our training rooms, and they had left 3 IBM computers, laptops, ThinkBooks in the back. And now those things at that point should cost about $5,000. And they'd been there for like 4 weeks. And the thought came to my mind. You can steal one. No, not you. I can steal one of those. If it's you, I don't even know who's saying that. I can steal one of those. And nobody will know. And immediately, I got a download of a plan of how to do it. And it was a good plan. I mean, it really was. And it's amazing how fast it came. And along with that came the thought, they'll never suspect you because you're a pastor. So that word pastor is losing its word in my brain, and I hear, you shall not steal. And then all of a sudden I heard, make no provision for the flesh. I went, woo, okay. So I got up, left the monitor not fully disconnected, went out and told the registrar, hey, there are 3 laptops in my room. We need to do something with them. And she said, yeah, the manager just called. He was in Atlanta that day. And said he wanted you. He doesn't trust anybody else. He wanted you to take those 3 laptops and put them in a secure place that we had in store. See, it was a setup. Do you understand that? Who was doing that? Everyone was, sir. It's just but you know what came right in? God just with His Word. Boom. It's wonderful to know God's Word. Because if you know God's Word, He'll pop it into your heart when you need it. I needed it. All of us do. Everybody faces temptations. So you memorize the Word of God. So good. Here's the next thing. Meditate. Meditate is when you just work on it. You go through it. Let me go back to memorize. I put some verses up here. In Acts 17, we see that they search the Word daily. In Psalm 1, 2, and 3, That should be Psalm 119. Sorry, it's the wrong verse. But that says, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. And Psalm 1 through 3, he talks about us meditating on the word of God. And if we do that, look at what he says. And whatever he does, the person who meditates, whatever he does shall do what? Prosper. You want to have good things happen in your life? You meditate in the word of God. We'll talk about that. I'll do that in a minute. And then the last thing you got to do is you got to do it. That's where a lot of Christians fall down. A lot of Christians know the stuff. They don't do it. You got to do it. Don't be hearers of the word. Don't be doers. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. What happens if you're only a hearer and not a doer? What does it say? You're deceiving yourself. So you need to do it. You need to put it in action. So here are the five. We read, search, memorize, meditate, and apply it. Or do it. So necessary. See, it's so more important for us to get into the Word of God. And this thing called meditation, it is so important. And you can do it in so many different ways. Let me just share with you some of the ways and some of the influences it has in our life. With speech, you can talk about it. And that helps bring that word in as you meditate. The Scripture tells us how to think, right? Somebody said, I just can't quit thinking about this. And I said to them, oh, yes, you can. You know how? Because the Scripture tells us how to think. It tells us what to think about. They don't have to think the garbage that's constantly flowing in loop in their brain all the time. They can think something differently. How do I know? Hey, he says here, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, is what you're thinking true? No. Okay. Whatever things are noble, is it really noble? No. Whatever things are just, is it? No. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, meditate on these things. Where should those things come from? Well, here. There are a whole lot of things you can think about. Well, I don't know what you do at night before you go to sleep. One of the things I do at night before I go to sleep, I pray. I make sure that I've forgiven anybody I need to forgive. Because the Lord says to not let the sun go down on your anger. So if I need to forgive somebody, sometimes it's kind of rough. Sometimes it's one or two before I get to bed because I don't want to forgive them. But I'll forgive them. And then as I'm going to sleep, I'll pray. And then if I'm still awake during that time, because my wife says I can be asleep in about 2.5 seconds, usually before I then hit the bed, I start thinking about something in the Scriptures. And there's so many things you can think about in the Scriptures. So I just pick one. In fact, I just say, Lord, what should I be thinking about tonight? So he bongs something in my brain, some thought, and I'll be thinking about that. And it's so much fun when he does that, because I think about that, and invariably, I'm going to be using that thought in the next day or 2 days with somebody. The things I was thinking about, it would come into an illustration or come into something to share with people. So we use it with speech. We also can talk to others about the Word. The Scripture says that if you have children, and if you have nieces and nephews, if you don't have children, one of the things he wants you to do is to teach them diligently the Scriptures. And you talk about God and the Scriptures all the time. You just talk about them. Talk about putting them in signposts. Well, we don't put them on doors that quite the way they did. But you know what we do have? We have Scripture up on the walls. You know? We have Scripture for wallpaper on phones and on computer screens, you know? And so we have it in a different way of applying it. We got Scriptures there. Because it's so important that just becomes part of your life. An old preacher in England, his name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said, when Christians are cut, they should bleed the Bible. And he's right. It ought to just be so much a part of our life. We can meditate by writing. We can read it. That's one of the ways we talked about earlier. But one of the kings, in Deuteronomy, God said, when you have a king that's in the land, one of the things he's supposed to do is he's supposed to sit on the throne every day. And you know what he's supposed to do? He's to write the Word of God. Have you ever written the Word of God? Let me tell you something. It happens in your brain. I don't understand it fully. But something happens. It's not the same when I type on the keyboard the word as when I write out the word. I can type on the keyboard and be doing this. I can be thinking about some other things and type. But I can't think about other things and write. Move the pencil through to write the word. Can I just give you an assignment sometime? Try writing out the word of God. You'll find it'll make an impression upon you it didn't make when you just heard it or when you just read it. There's some connection that happens. So I'm not talking about writing the book of Genesis. I'm talking about writing a passage of Scripture. Just write it out. You know, you used to do that in school. I mean, at least I did when we were bad in school. They paddled us back in those days. When you got older, they didn't paddle you much. And you had to write out stuff 100 times. You'd write out a verse 100 times. I got to tell you what's going to happen to you. That's going to be part of your life. And it'll be there for your life. A little exercise make a major difference in your life. What would have happened if the kings of Israel did that? David would have not fooled around with Bathsheba if he'd done that. Saul would have not been chasing David all the time if he'd done that. And the world would be different than what we know if that had been taking place. God says, come, let us reason together. He likes to reason with us, ask him questions. I read the scriptures, and I'm constantly asking questions. Lord, I don't understand this. What's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? Ask questions, reason. Sometimes his spirit will give you some interesting insights. And a lot of times I don't have any idea because he didn't say anything. But I ask the questions anyway because it gets me involved in the story. We'll talk about that next week. Music. The scripture says to sing a new song. One of the things I've noted about little children is they come up with songs, they make up songs. Have you ever heard them do that? They make up tunes and they make up songs, super creative. Guess what? You still got that in you. Nobody has to hear it. But you can make up songs that you can sing to the Lord. Or maybe you know songs that are sung. One of the nice things about the praise music that came out about 12 years ago is that it's a lot of scripture. And so you can sing those songs. And most mornings when I wake up, there's a tune playing. It's a scripture song. And it's great to have that channel going in my brain as it's just there. So have the scripture do that. Some of you may be closet new hymn writer or psalm writers that can take stuff and do it. Who knows? You can share that with Wes and see what he would do. I mean, that's what he does, right? He takes ideas and turns them out. We can ponder things. Mary did that. She heard these things that the angel said to her about Jesus being born, and she pondered them. She thought about them. Worked them over and over in her brain, just thinking about them. Ponder, thinking. One of the best ways to break the cycle, you've been in it, haven't you? When you're thinking negatively about something, you're upset about somebody that's done something to you, or you're down on yourself for something, or whatever's there. One of the best ways to break that is to start working in Scripture. And start thinking in Scripture. That'll break it. It's just wonderful. Because your mind begins to go to a different place. And you can observe with that. You can use imagination. God says that. To observe the ant. You ever gone out and looked at an ant? Watch the ants. My grandsons. Come on, boys. Let's go look at the ants. Hey! We're going to look at the ants and see what they do. Very diligent. Nobody's standing on them. Very diligent. They do this work all the time. And you ought to look up ants sometime in the encyclopedia and go back and look at how ants are used in the scriptures. And then we can draw mental images. I draw mental images all the time. The eagle that's floating around in the sky. Oh man, I just see that, don't you? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Storm's going on below. He's in the soft air up above just having a great time. Destruction down below, he's up there. That's what happens when we mount up with the wings of the eagles. That's what he's talking about. You get a different perspective. You're up here when everything else is happening down here. Now, to be sure, you're in the midst of it. But spiritually, you're here. You're not freaking. Paul's on a ship that's falling apart, right? Acts chapter, the last chapter of Acts, you know that? It's falling apart, right? Next last chapter. And what do? He comes out of the bottom of the ship, hangs on to what's left out, and you know the first words out of his mouth are, cheer up! L. King James would be a good cheer. Cheer up! Angels just came and talked to me. He's in the midst of this thing falling apart, and he's not acting that way. Everybody else was. Why? It's because this guy had this picture given to him by an angel of their salvation and their salvation from that particular situation. God uses great pictures for us. And then meditation will help you take it on down in your heart, because that's where you can express things of the emotion. And when you're touched with an emotion, you remember those things. God so made us so that if you're hit with emotion, you remember it. That's why traumas are so rough, because you're hit with emotion and you can't get rid of them. But also, the first kiss. Other things have those emotions. And it also deals with the will. because the will is there and God wants us to go His way. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't go against the Lord's ways. And that's very, very important. So the Word of God is very special. We're going to be using it, and I want to teach you how to work in to the Scriptures so that you can gain a lot of information. I need you to do something for me, though. Let me explain to you what I need you to do. I want to pass out to you a sheet, and I'd like for you to work this sheet for me. I'm going to show you how it works. It's called an observation quiz. Because one of the things I want to do is I want to increase your abilities. Would you pass this over? I want to increase your abilities to observe. I want to make it so that you can observe things more strongly than you were able to observe them before you began this time with us. If you can learn to observe, you will be able to do things that are major in the Scriptures. Yeah, I got one. I got one. These are little frames, and in the frames, it's called a frame quiz. In the frames, we have some symbols for things that stand for things that are not what they are. You got an extra one? Or is it?
I got one.
One extra. You got yours. Okay, good. Here is the first one. Let me tell you about it. Okay, you see it's a square? You see that? And it's got the word sand in the middle. What do you call sand? Well, the square you call a box. So that's a sandbox. These little puzzles that are fun to do. You have, in the next one, you have a man, right? And you got board. Man overboard. Now you're seeing how it goes. And you have the word I. The letter I, and you have stand. What is that?
I understand.
Now, don't worry about getting ahead on these. I'm going to hand you another one that will be the real one you take home. Okay? This one is just going to work through so you get the hang of it. The next one is what?
Read between the lines.
Very good. The next one is what?
Long
underwear. Do you get that? Everybody understand what we're doing?
Yeah.
That's kind of silly, but it's making you observe. You're looking at some symbols, and they're not what they are appearing to be. What you got is two roads. What are the two roads?
Crossroads.
You got the word town. What is that?
Downtown.
Downtown, or unless you read the other way.
Uptown.
Uptown. Okay. Anyway, I mean, you're doing something with town, right? Depending on what your view of it is. The next one is what?
Tricycle.
Very good. The next one is what? A high chair. The next one is a?
Touchdown.
You seeing those? You understanding it? It's not hard, right? The next one is?
Mind over matter.
Very good. The next one is?
Life after death.
Yeah, see, because what we're going to do is we're looking at the prepositions here, and we're seeing positions, because positions will show you the things, and so it's life after death. That's great. The next one is? A backward glance. Do you see that? So you're going to have to observe carefully because they change. None of them are going to be the same. The next one is what?
6 feet underground.
Very good. And the next one is?
3 degrees
below zero. Very good. Very good. That's great. And the next one is? Okay. How many? It's two, right? Could be a bi-level, but split level was what was in the mind. Okay. All right, now these are going to be a little bit more difficult. Not terribly difficult. It's a little bit more difficult. This is week two. And I've got a full 10 of these. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass them out. And next week when we come together, we'll talk about them as we start off, okay? I have a method in my madness. My method is I want you to be observing. You need to observe. To read the Scriptures properly, you need to observe what's there. And so you have this assignment, okay? And so that's what I'm going to have you do. If I get you to help again, please, in passing these out. And I have one other assignment. I've got a minute and a half to tell you about it. One other assignment. This is just the fun part. If you don't get to this, don't worry about it. But it's a lot of fun to play with. And you can take it home and, you know, let other people help you with it. There's no cheating. You can't cheat. You just do it. All right? So it's fine. Just play with it. But it's a lot of fun to see what it is. All right? So now, what I'd like to do
is to tell you about what I'd like you to do for me for next week. What's the longest psalm in the Bible?
119.
Psalm 119. So I'd like you to read Psalm 119 if you have a lot of time. Because in Psalm 119, a major theme in Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And so if you're able to do it, that's the long assignment, okay? If you're able to do it, read through and find out what you get from reading the Word of God. Because as you take in the Word of God, David wrote it. Many people think he wrote it. As the psalm is written, it's got 22 different segments of 8 in it. So break it up. You don't have to read it in one sitting. All right, the 22 segments of 8. All right, so you can read it through 3 segments of 8 a day, and it'll take you all the way through it. So read that and find out. Just write down on a piece of paper, what do you get from reading the Word of God? If you don't have time to do that, then go to Psalm 19. It's much shorter. And Psalm 19 talks about the two revelations that God has given to us. The first revelation is the universe. The second revelation is His Word. So I'm not concerned so much about the universe. I mean, there's great, it's good. But I'm concerned in this course about the Word. So the last verses, it's like the last 8 verses of Psalm 19, deal with that. So if you only have time for 8 verses, that's where to go. If you got more time, Psalm 119 will be exciting for you, okay? But I want you to go and I want you to observe, what then do you gain from the Word of God? All right? Good. Hey, thank y'all so much for being here. I think we'll have some fun. You'll put up with my corny jokes and all my stories, but we've got a bunch of them. But we want to help you understand this precious book because it's so special to me. And I know it's special to you. You wouldn't be here. And we want you to understand what God has for us. Let's bow in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We'd agree with Abraham Lincoln, Lord, that your gift of the Scriptures, apart from the salvation you've given to us, your gift of the Scriptures has to be one of the best things that's ever come our way. Because in it is life. In it is hope. In it is joy. In it is the understanding of who you are. Thank you for revealing those things to us. And by your grace, Lord, would you help my friends as they, at home this week, open up the pages of your book and read the wonderful truths that are there. Encourage their hearts. Draw them close to you. That regardless of whatever takes place in their life, they'll be able to stand upon the rock. You, who are the surety. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your deep love for us. Amen.